Es khazar ze khine shpokh khat khoshlag bim yehuda mesecht es ksub es daf nun vov. Zogt ik mar rov nest. A quinter blows ben azaya, if the couple entered the chupa but did not yet have bia and she's divorced or widowed at that point, is she entitled to the additional monies added to the ksuba for the tais ksuba beyond the basic 100 200 or not? Does one give the money in anticipation for chupa and therefore she has chupa and therefore she gets the tais fis, or maybe only in anticipation for bia which has not yet happened and therefore she would not be entitled to any tais fis above the mona messiah? Zatmar Yosef taught a brisa that explains the reason of Rabbi Azaya that any additional amounts were written in anticipation of the first night. Now the first night must refer to chuppah because bia is something that may be done the first night but sometimes takes later, takes place after the first night, and therefore it must be that that it was anticipation for chuppah, not anticipation for bia. In fact, my chuppah sometimes is chuppah something that can only be done at night? No, it could be done by day or by night. So when it says the first night, it's lechora not referring to chuppah, because chuppah is not something that can only happen at night. Also, why is it assumed that bia only takes place at night? Rava has said that bia may be done by day when it's done in a darkened room, etc. So why is also bia limited to something which to be the thing which is referred to as something that's done at night? Mara says, no, since bia is usually done at night, it's referred to as being the thing that's done at night. Chuppah as well, since it's done to bring to bia, it too is typically done at night. Ravashi asked, if the couple entered chuppah but the woman then became a nida, thus not allowing for bia, is she entitled to collect the additional amount of the ksuba at that point or not? Because even if we say that the additional amounts are given in anticipation of just chuppah, but maybe that's only true for a chuppah that brings about a bia, but this chuppah right now can't bring about a bia because she's a nida, chuppah's nida. So what's the story? Take ublaib the shayla. Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda, ime rotza kaisev lebesula v'chulu. We find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a receipt is not written for partial payments. Rather, the partial payment should be written into the collection document so that it can't be used to fully collect. So how come over here he allows a receipt to be written? So Rabbi Yehuda said, the Mishnah means that it should be written into the ksuba document itself and a chanami, not with a receipt. The Baya said, in a normal case, Rabbi Yehuda Taka doesn't allow a receipt, but in this case, he does. Because in this case, she was not really paid. It's part of this whole plan to give her a decreased ksuba. Therefore, if he loses a receipt, it's his own fault, and we're not concerned of making him pay the entire amount. Abaya doesn't say like Rabbi Yehuda because the words of the Mishnah don't suggest that understanding. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say like Abaya because we would not allow a receipt in one case and not others, because that allowing it in one case may lead to receipts being used in other cases as well. Maybe so, therefore, as a gzera, we wouldn't allow it in one case more than the others. The fact of the Mishnah says she writes a receipt. This suggests that an oral waiver or verbal waiver would not be sufficient. Since this is strictly a monetary matter, we find that Rabbi Yehuda says that even a verbal waiver should be sufficient. So how come over here he says not? Rabbi says Rabbi Yehuda holds that ksuba is derabbanon, and the derabbanon were more stringent regarding their own takonis, and therefore required an actual written waiver, and taka a verbal waiver would not be enough. In fact, when we find that Rabbi Yehuda allows a verbal waiver regarding rights to the produce of her nichse melug, even though that's also only derabbanon, so Abaya said nichse melug are not all that common, and therefore the Rabbanan did not insist on a written waiver. Ksuba documents are very common, and therefore, to strengthen the Rabbanan, the Takonos Chachamim, they required a written waiver. Mar says, Rav Meir's words suggest that even if one makes a stipulation to reduce the amount of the ksuba, the stipulation would not be effective, and she would receive the full amount of the ksuba. However, since she would not feel fully sure that she'll even get it, any bia that they have would be considered a bi'ilaznus. We learned that Ermeya says that a stipulation made to change the deraisa obligation is not effective. This suggests that a stipulation made to change the rabbonan obligation, like a ksuba, would be effective. So Hakama doesn't work over here. Hakama says over here you can't do it. Mar says Ermeya holds that ksuba is actually deraisa. Abraisa says, Rameir says anyone who reduces the mon or masayim zuz for a ksuba obligation is considered to be in a relationship of nus with his wife. Rabbi Yaisi says it's actually mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says one may write the ksuba for 100 or 200 like he has to, and then the woman can write a receipt stating that she has received partial payment and in that way reduce the ksuba. In fact, we find that Rabbi Yaisi does not allow movable property to be designated as payment for the ksuba because they often diminish in value. Now, if he doesn't allow a case where the amount of the ksuba may be diminished, it's possible, then surely he will not allow a case where it is certainly diminished. If so, how can he say in the Braisa that it's mutter to give less? Or it says in the Braisa, going into the marriage, she's meichel and therefore knows that she will not be getting the full amount. That's why it's mutter. In the other cases, she thinks that she'll be getting the full amount, but ultimately may not. That's why it's not allowed. Mar says that Rabbi Bar Chama's sister was married to Rav Avi and lost her ksuba. They asked Rav Yosef what to do. He told them that Rabbi Yehuda name Shmuel said, it's only Rav Meir who says that living without a ksuba is considered znus, and therefore it's okay. That right now, if you don't have a ksuba, you can continue living together, and eventually you write a new ksuba. However, the Chacham argue and say that it's not a problem. So now Abaya said to him, but Rav Nachman and Nehem Shmuel says that we pass on the Rav Meir when he's Goyzer, so we should be concerned that living without a ksuba even for a short time is a problem. So Rav Yosef said, if so, Taka, go ahead and write a new ksuba.